Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Knowing Christ Ministries Half Hour, or as we like to think of it, the 30 minutes during which we focus on our Lord Jesus Christ, the one true Son of God Almighty. For the past month or so, we've enjoyed a wonderful series of broadcasts on the history of various popular hymns and discussed the meaning associated with the lyrics. And we'll probably return to that next week. But the Lord pressed something heavily on my heart today as I was about to prepare the script for Amazing Grace. Nope. Danny, I want you to discuss Isaiah chapter 53 and one of the reasons why the Jews don't acknowledge me as the Messiah, even though God's authentic, inspired, inerrant, and true word clearly states that I am. But of course, the Jews throughout history did not believe the Messiah would come in the form of a man, despite what prophets said or not. So anyway, we're going to discuss this today, and I am stating at the outset, this is the fourth time I am starting this broadcast. Technology has not been kind, and this further tells me that Satan doesn't want these words getting out either. So listen close. Apparently, this is a very, very important broadcast, in addition to the fact that God pressed this on my heart. There's a spiritual warfare battle at stake here. So others need to really hear this. Please forward this broadcast to as many people as you know. So with that preface, as many of you know, Isaiah is a very special book of scripture for me. It was one of the first very, very in-depth Bible studies I was blessed to participate in. And afterwards, to be honest, I could not possibly understand why anyone reading the Bible didn't understand that Jesus was the one true Son of God Almighty. And remember, I was born into and grew up in an Orthodox Jewish home. So to me, being converted to Christianity and having started to really read and study God's Word, not just the Old Testament, but the New as well, I realized so much, of course, as my eyes were opened. But the niggly feeling remained. How can anyone considering themselves a Bible scholar, Jew or Christian, read all of Isaiah, and not see for themselves that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Now, I'm going to backpedal a little bit. Most Christians know only what they're spoon-fed by pastors in church on Sunday or what they see or hear in the media, whether it's true or not. Although the Bible is the best-selling book everywhere throughout history, it's rarely read cover to cover. It's even less rarely studied, and it's rarely picked up. So what happens? People only know what they're told. People only know what they're exposed to. In churches, that equates to what Christians or guests to church are told about Scripture typically in a Sunday message. Well, see, the same is for Jews. The same is true for Jews. They only know what they're told by the rabbi, who also does the interpreting of the text. And now, this is pivotal, too, because the text in an Orthodox and conservative synagogue is read to the congregation in Hebrew. So unless you're a scholar and fluent in ancient Hebrew, you're not going to understand what's being said. Matter of fact, and we'll get into this in a moment, not all text from the Old Testament is read in the synagogue. So you'll see, it's more than a matter of the Old Testament versus the New Testament. There's selectivity involved as well. Now, earlier this week, I happened to see an item on a newsfeed posting about verses from Isaiah 53 missing from Jewish scripture. And I thought about it for a little bit, and once again, it really bothered me. And I thought, well, I wonder if that's maybe what's going on, say, with my family members. But because I know the Old Testament is a foreshadowing of Christ, where the New Testament is about Christ, but maybe that was kind of a simplistic way of viewing it. So I had all these thoughts going through my head and just kind of went on with my week. But with that as a backdrop, here's the rest of the story on why I feel it's really important. Doubly important. First of all, it's extremely important, and I never go against what God tells me to do. If he says, discuss this today, I'm going to do it. But I have a personal reason as well, and maybe this is God responding to my heart too. Here's the rest of the story. Without getting into family drama, my brother is still an Orthodox Jew, or at least he considers himself so, and he knows I'm a devout Christian, and unfortunately, never the twain shall meet, unfortunately. Now, I pray for Christ to open his heart, his eyes, and his ears regularly. Some days when my brother and I speak, I think he's a little more receptive than others. Some days not. But I know that nothing that I can say directly to him is going to lead him to Christ. I cannot proselytize to him. I cannot get into apologetic arguments with him. It's just Christ has not opened his eyes, heart, or ears to what I have to say. Well, right now, unfortunately, my brother's life is rapidly coming to an end. He's going to be facing open heart surgery next month. And based on his compromised physical condition, he only has a slim chance of survival. So do I pray that somehow he'll hear this broadcast, maybe even a download from someone in the hospital while he's there? Well, that would be the work of the Lord. And we all know that the Lord works in very mysterious ways that are not our own. So while I dedicate this broadcast to my brother, I feel pressed that there are others in similar situations who need to reach out to other Jewish individuals as well, dedicated to everyone. So let's start the discussion. I want to read a section from a posting or blog posting on Outreach Judaism by Rabbi Tovia Singer. And she explains the readings of the Old Testament on the Sabbath, or how they're done. The sections are actually called the Haftorah, or portion of the Torah, which is, of course, all of the Old Testament. Now, those unfamiliar with the source of the custom to read the Haftorah might conclude that the Jews read all of the prophets during the entire year, as they do the first five books of the Torah, which is called the Pentateuch, which are the five books of Moses, or the first five books of the Old Testament. But she goes on to say, and somehow we only leave out Isaiah 53 from the annual readings of the Haftorah. Actually, less than 5% of the prophets are read during the Sabbath service throughout the year. Now, between you and me, that explains a lot. And we may discuss that in another broadcast, or I may actually write that up into a book, because it definitely explains a lot. About prophecy, because to me, prophecy is one of the reasons that we believe scripture, because prophecy is being fulfilled. Anyway, back to Singer's explanation. The Jewish people adopted the custom to read the Haftorah long before the advent of Christianity, or so she says. During the traumatic events that led to the festival of Hanukkah, Antiochus decreed that it was forbidden for the Jews to read the Torah in his effort to eradicate the Jewish faith. To circumvent this spiritual crisis, the Jewish people began to read from a selected portion of the prophets on each Sabbath to substitute the designated reading from the Torah. This custom was retained after the decree was rescinded. The particular Sabbath portion of the prophets was carefully selected for one of two reasons, either because the theme of the segment of the prophets closely correlated to the portion of the Torah read that week, or because that section of the prophets thematically corresponded to a festival or a historical circumstance during that Sabbath. It's therefore easy to understand why Isaiah 53 is never read in the synagogue. Isaiah 53 bears no relation to any of the chapters of the Pentateuch, and it's unrelated to any holiday or historical circumstance in the Jewish calendar. Therefore, this chapter was not included. Now, sorry, brain freeze. I thought of something and it went right out. So let's explore this further. One of the first claims in the New Testament is that Isaiah 53 is a prophecy of Jesus comes from the book of Acts, in which its author, who's also the author of Luke's Gospel, describes the scene in which God commands Philip the evangelist to approach an Ethiopian eunuch who's sitting in a chariot reading aloud to himself from the book of Isaiah. The eunuch comments he does not understand what he's reading, and Philip explains to him the teachings of Jesus. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. This has been the standard Christian interpretation of the passage since apostolic times. Now, Isaiah 53, verse 1, is quoted in John chapter 12, verse 38. But although he had done many signs before them, They did not believe in him that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Well, according to the Cambridge Bible for Schools and Colleges, the arm of the Lord is a metaphor for Jehovah's operation in history. The Apostle Paul quotes part of the same verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? And Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 is quoted in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, where it's used in the context of Jesus' healing ministry, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. Now, let's take a serious look at the situation. Well, it's all serious. But as I said, most people have never read, let alone studied the Bible. But Isaiah 53 is a well-known chapter of Scripture to the average student of the Bible. Now, most people are not avid Bible students and have not read the controversial passage. But let me just read some responses in a situation, because in Israel there are a lot of Bible scholars. A recent survey illustrated the point. 100 Jews on the street of Tel Aviv were asked, who do you think the 53rd chapter of Isaiah describes? Well, of course, most were unfamiliar with the passage and were asked to read it before answering. After doing so, many conceded they didn't know to whom it referred. Some thought it was Jesus, but when it was sunk in that the passage was a citation from the Old Testament, they were put off. Others shrugged off the passage as too difficult to understand. Some repeated what they had heard from Jews more religious than themselves, that referred to the Jewish people or perhaps even the Gentile nations. All seemed to think that whoever it referred to, it wouldn't make much difference in their lives. Now remember, Israel is unique in so much as it probably is the only place on earth where you can spend a couple hours on a public street and be assured of getting 100 different opinions. But Israel is not unique when it comes to the Jewish response to Isaiah 53. There's really no consensus based on personal knowledge of the passage. People either have read it and they've accepted the status quo, or both. And I just remember what I was going to say before about reading selected portions from prophets or selected portions of scripture in any service. Remember, we are told, it's like taking things out of context if you do that. We are told to live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Every word. Not just selected words, not just selected verses, not just selected chapters, not just selected books from the Bible, but every word. So to omit certain chapters, to omit certain sections, we cannot possibly live by the word of God. That's where I was going to go. Now, getting back to Isaiah 53. One might think the passage is obscure and irrelevant because so many people are unfamiliar with it. But that stems from the fact that it doesn't appear regularly in the calendar readings. Like I said, we are to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Yet it could be argued that the very fact that it's left out shows for the importance of the passage. Even the reasons for omitting it point to the uniqueness of the passage. For example, one Jewish scholar, Claude Montefiore, explains, because of the Christological interpretation, or the interpretation by Christians, given to the chapter, it's omitted from a series of prophetic lessons for the Deuteronomy Sabbaths, and that the omission is deliberate and striking. Well, why is it so striking? Because when we finish the cycle of readings for the year, he says, we haven't really finished it. We've left out a portion from our own prophets. Again, prophets are all from the Old Testament. Now, since when does the Christian interpretation and rationale of Jewish scripture have a bearing on whether or not it's read in synagogues all over the world? That's part of Montefiore's argument. The mission is striking because it not only simply because the Christian interpretation of the Isaiah passage is omitted, but the fact that the services are not for Christian ears, they're for Jews. So what does that imply? The problem's not what Christians think of the passage, or the Christological interpretation. The problem is what Jews might think. Scripture is very, very controversial when it comes to Isaiah 53, because contrary to what those surveyed felt, many people have looked into the questions this passage poses and have found that the answers are extremely relevant to their own lives. After all, after reading and studying Isaiah, after reading and studying this passage, and I'm going to read the passage to you in just a couple seconds, you have got to know that this talks about Jesus Christ, the one true Son of God, come for us to bear our transgressions and to give us everlasting life. And if that's not relevant to our life, if that's not life-changing, I don't know what is. So I'm going to start with the last three verses of Isaiah chapter 52, which is Isaiah 53, 2 chapters, verses 13 through 15. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were admonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what they shall see, and what they had not heard they shall consider. Now here's chapter 53, verses 1 through 12. Whom has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, but he has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, you shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. Those words were written over 2,700 years ago. Yet many people who read them today find the words just seem to jump off the page. So who does that sound like to you? Can there be any possible doubt? That's talking about the one true Son of God, the Lord Jesus, the one true Son of God Almighty. So, dear friends, we're just about out of time, and my voice and cognitive functions are failing. So with that, I invite you to contact us with any comments or questions you might have on this or any other show. And I have a feeling that we'll get back to hymns, but I think next week I'm going to do an actual Bible study on Isaiah 53. I think we need that after this discussion. So let us pray. And I thank you, Lord, for putting that on my heart as well right now as I was reading the words. So let us pray, Heavenly Father. I thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die for our sins. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for welcoming us and enabling us to have a platform to spread your message and how your message can be applied to our lives here on earth, our current home away from our permanent future home in the heavenlies with you. Father, we ask for your blessing as we seek to understand the reticence of others who do not believe. We pray that you help us to speak the truth and enlighten others with your word, especially when there are words they do not or never have heard for whatever political or religious reasons may be at the fault for that. And once heard, we pray that others feel drawn to come to you and reach out their hands as well, finding safety, security, peace, and faith in knowing you. And it's in your ever-blessed name, Lord Jesus, I pray. I want to thank you for listening to us today. If you'd like more information on speaking engagements or have us visit your church or organization, please email us at info@knowingchrist.com. We also offer biblical counseling locally and throughout the world via Skype to individuals or couples. For updates and invitations to our shows, please visit our Facebook page and like us to stay in the know. I usually use our Facebook page to announce the broadcasts that we're going to be doing and what's scheduled for any particular week or series, along with the times we're going to be broadcasting. So especially having the app to interact with us, please like us and make certain you check back to that page regularly if the Facebook algorithm doesn't generate our postings on your newsfeed. If you don't like us, first of all, you won't see any of the postings on your newsfeed. But if you don't check back frequently or interact with us, you're even less likely to see any postings. It's as simple as that. It's like when you interact with certain friends more frequently than others, there's the algorithm within Facebook that lets you see their postings more frequently. So come to our page frequently, like us, so you're seeing some, but come frequently so you see our postings regularly. Additionally, we use our Facebook page to reach you with the books availability of the books that we talk about in our broadcast and write for the ministry, which can be ordered directly off the Facebook page. And, of course, donations to our ministry can be made off of the Facebook page as well. I also want to remind you that our app, Knowing Christ Ministries Tracks, is available for a free download for both the iOS and Android platforms. There's a short 15-minute broadcast that can help you find, download, and use the app. And I strongly suggest you locate that, find, listen, and then download the app. I actually have that pinned to our Facebook Knowing Christ Ministries page. That's the first item on the newsfeed. Follow the link just click on the link. That's actually the broadcast on finding, downloading, and using the app, and explains everything on how to use the app, including how to access and use the email that's already addressed to us from within the app. All you need to do is add text to the message in the body of the already pre-filled out form, and just hit send, and it comes right to us. And this also allows you to interact with us while we're doing our broadcasts if you have any questions or comments as I'm speaking. It's really cool. I love that app. Anyway, I invite you to join us next week. As I said, I think I'm going to do an actual Bible study on the scripture from Isaiah 53 that we just read. I think it's really pivotal to continue the discussion. So I invite you to join us then. But until then, until next week, I want you to remember, it's not what you know, but who you know. So for Knowing Christ Ministries, this is Dr. Danielle West saying, may Christ continue to bless you richly. Have a wonderful and blessed week, my friends.